This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
The Celtics look a little wounded here. Jaylen Brown is banged up. Hauser's going to be out. KD, who knows what's up with him. And the one thing that we take away, without going nuts, and I think you can straddle the line now. It's not the first hour of the show. It's now hour three. All right, so we're kind of transitioning to maybe a slightly different set of emotions here. Maybe. Not to stifle the enthusiasm, but maybe we'll just get a little more pragmatic now. And the thing that I walk away with that is really encouraging still in hour three and after all the jubilation from last night is that the Knicks won a game where they didn't even play particularly well. They played hard. They made stops. They made shots when they had to. They did enough things when they had to. But boy, oh boy, there is a lot that they could correct. And the other thing that we know, or at least I don't know if we know it yet. Let me take that back. The thing that I think that I'm beginning to see is that the Knicks as a team are starting to harden a little bit. They're starting to callous and gel. And we could thank those Pistons for that. You know, we're sitting there. I'm like, oh, God. I mean, during the Detroit Pistons series, I'm like, you couldn't get a more conventional first-round matchup. You know, somebody who's just happy to be there. You know, let the Knicks get well-rested for what's going to be a brutal matchup. Massive underdogs against the world champion Celtics. Ah, they're getting beat up every night. Oh, we got to go back to Detroit. Oh, God. Like, this physical tone, I just thought it would be very detrimental for the Knicks in terms of how they would just physically feel going into this next series here. But, man, the Pistons did them a favor. They woke them up. And they really sped up, I believe, their chemistry. And that is an awesome thing. Knicks obviously have a chance. 888-808-1019 here. It's BT and Sal. Brandon's here. The Sal Licata Show. Jay is in Hawthorne. As we get back to those Nick calls, Devin Williams as well. Jay, what's happening, dude?
Hey, fellas. What's going on? I just wanted to circle back with you guys. Cause last week, we had a conversation after the Game 5 loss about Tibbs. And I think the discussion was about whether there would be a need to maybe replace Tibbs. My response to that when I called him was I felt like he was responsible for the culture change, and I felt like it was important to keep him. And I think last night, I haven't heard too much about how important of a role he played in the win. I think he made some decisions that obviously, you know, produced the results that we were hoping for, and I think that it's a signature win for him because it just showed this is a gritty team. He kind of, his culture is obvious when you watch these games now. And I think that you see that in how Mikal Bridges played last night. Like, he obviously wasn't, you know, putting down too many shots, but mm-hmm. He played hard down the stretch. His defense is what I think helped us win that game. And he just seemed a lot more passionate than I've ever seen Mikal Bridges as a Knick. Mm-hmm. I want that. I'm hoping for that out of Cat. I feel like Cat is trying to find his way a little bit too. But I think that last night was a huge win just in terms of the culture, and I think that's going to carry through the rest of the series. It was more of a hard-nosed, a hard-fought win, and it was more defensive than anything. And another big thing that I think you should take away from that game was how much all of this really should continue to flow through Brunson. In the first half, obviously, Cat was successful, and he kind of carried us early. But I think we got back to really what makes the Knicks, and it's really flowing through Jaylen and playing great defense and just playing hard, not losing those fights, you know, that you see in each turn of the game. we got to win those loose balls. And I think when you play the right way, when you play, you know, with a certain level of intensity, you know, those things work in your favor. And I think that's about Tibbs. More
well, I think that's fair. It also doesn't hurt here, Jay, and thanks for the call, that, you know, one of the great advantages for the Celtics is a little compromise, at least early in the season or in the series, and that's the depth. And their other star player, who is a champion and a great co-star to Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown's a little bit banged up. That doesn't mean you can't take advantage of it. I mean, heck, there were a lot of times Ewing was hobbled. You know, he was just hobbled. He was limping around. Nobody felt sorry for us. Hey, it is what it is. Tough. You know, okay, back to Cat for a second. I know we talk about him a lot, and it's always kind of a nuanced conversation. Like, you got to give him props because he's talented, but then there's always like another direction, which I tend to take it, and I believe that he's earned that. He's earned the good, but he's also earned some of the criticisms or some of the reservations that I have about him as so far. All right, and I'm going to give you an example. Like, I don't understand why sometimes he's so demonstrative. Like, he makes a big bucket. You know how they do the injection into the inject me with, you know, I'm heating up, whatever the kids do. My son does it. The injection hits a three that bangs in. When he shoots it from his waist, he's injecting himself. But, a lot of the guys in the pros do. Jalen does the thing with three fingers. Cat does that. And there's times where Cat is really, really energized. And again, demonstrative. And then there's other times where I'm sure it's not this way inside. I'm not saying he doesn't want to do well, but what he presents is an element or a level of disengagement that is so inconsistent, so counter to the energized Karl Anthony Towns. Like, Jalen Brunson's always the same. OG Anunoby's always the same. Bridges is now becoming old, where he's calm, cool, and when he makes a big play late, he's going to show you a little juice. I think McBride's always the same way. I think Josh Hart's always the same way. I think Mitchell Robinson's always pretty much the same demeanor. Karl Anthony Towns, I think it's his demeanor. And yes, I could quibble about being not as physical as I want, and I think that that's valid, and I have said that. You get a guy smaller on you, just park him behind in the post and muscle him to death and throw it down his throat. But, you know, the up and the downs, like, he looks like a killer, and then he looks like he's invisible. The body language, that I don't get. And that frustrates the hell out of me. I'm not going to lie to you, because that you can control, right? Like, I always tell my kids, you've heard me say, I tell my kids, now, it's not easy. I can't even do it. I'm a 51-year-old man, but I tell my kids, control what you can control. Control what you, oh, it's a hard test? Okay, you know that, you know what's on it. Study. All right, the umpire made a bad call? Yeah, you can't control that. Control what you can control. You can control engagement. You can. You can't control how high you jump. That's a God-given thing. Can't control how tall you are. It's a God-given thing. You can control how engaged you are. And I think with Cat, I think I'm finally nailing it with him, because he twists me in knots trying to describe him. I'm not going to describe him. I'm not going to lie to you. It's tough, because I know he's really good. But the fluctuations in energy, that's what bothers me. All right, we're inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Our friends at Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Pete's in Sussex County. Pete, what's happening?
Hey, good morning or good afternoon, wherever you are. Those Knickerbockers were fantastic. But I have a theory why they look so good and played, you said, not so well. They played very well. That's why they won the game. Because they bonded together. And I'm going to tell you the big thing. When when Bron down and he was rested up, all of a sudden people came to realize OG and Bridges are alive on your roster. They came to the cream, to the top. And now we're coming to find out that they're bonding together, and we have not just Bronson, not just Townsend. We have other individuals. And let's not forget about the Hart, because he's the one that's getting all those rebounds, the energizer. So there are flaws on this roster. The biggest flaw is that they're not deep enough. The bench is weak. That has to be addressed during the offseason.
Yep.
But right now, what happened when I'm telling you they're bonded together, they got tested by the Pistons. The Pistons were a blessing in disguise. They made this team tough.
Yeah.
And now they're going against the Celtics, and the Celtics, I think, were taken by surprise on how tough the Knicks are because they ate them up during the rest of the season, but they're not going to eat them up in the playoffs.
It's a good call, Pete. I think you nailed it. I was just saying that, too, about how the Pistons did do them a favor because it just it forced them to mesh a little bit more. You know, and the other thing, too, I don't know what's going to happen with the some of the offseason moves the Knicks may or may not make. I don't think they're going to be able to get Giannis, and I think that's pretty apparent based on what they have to give up. Somebody's going to get him. So that somebody very well could be a team that is going to be in the Knicks' way next year. Like, what I'm saying is don't lean on next year. I'm not – when I say I don't want house money, I don't believe in that. Not maybe with certain things. Not now, I don't. Like I said yesterday – I think that last year, now I'm sure Pete and maybe, I shouldn't speak for him, but Hoff and maybe Evan, Loogie, like the big Met fans, maybe when they're playing the Dodgers and that last out's recorded and they're right there, you know, kind of knocking, even though the Dodgers beat them up a bunch in the series, but they had a really awesome season and they planted the seeds. You can probably, from a Mets perspective, say, all right, little house money. Now we go and we chase down Soto with reckless abandon and we do this and we do that and we do. And that's what's happened. And this very well could be, you know, first the starting point. Well, last year could have been, and this a continuation of the Mets' ascent to maybe possibly a championship. So last year, though, I think if you're, you know, an honest Mets fan in the moment, and I know it's hard when you're in it, you could probably identify on some level a little house money. We're not supposed to beat the big bad Dodgers. Not that you don't want to. Not that it doesn't hurt. But you could at least rationalize, all right, bigger days ahead. And I'm not saying that there can't be bigger days ahead for the Knicks, but I don't think that you can bank on that. Because I don't think the window, and I've talked about this, I don't want to be repetitive, I don't think the window's as long as some of you, you know. The Knicks were largely healthy this year. I know Jalen, you know, tweaked his ankle. That's it. Well, Mitch, but, you know, Mitch missed a lot of the season, too. But Cat was healthy for the most part. OG was a rock. Bridges was a rock. You know, so in totality, I'm not saying they didn't have any Knicks. Like, McBride was a little nicked up to start the year. But think about how many teams' seasons and the prospects change early. Ruptured Achilles, shredded ACL. You know, one of those kind of injuries that completely destroys one season. You just don't know when you're back in this position, which is why last year, I'll incorporate the Yankees now, like I wasn't sitting here saying, well, you know, I'm, of course on something like, all right, you retool, you got to do some things here. You get back next year, meaning this year, that was my thought when they lost to the Dodgers, but it's not like I'm leaning on that because it's not always that natural progression. Things happen. Well, one thing that happened to the Yankees is they lost Soto. One thing that happened to the Yankees is Gerrit Cole got hurt. So I'm not looking for house money. I'm looking for now. And for the first time, I'm feeling for now, which is a great thing for me. I've hated the way I felt about these Knicks this year. Hoff, I have said this. I have hated the way the Knicks have forced me to feel this year. It didn't feel natural. It felt consistent with what I was watching, but I didn't like it. I never liked it. So this is a much more enjoyable experience for me. Kind of a tough dance most of the season with the Knicks for me. You know that.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, here's the thing: there's been a lot of flaws this season. But on the other hand, they're still a great team. The biggest flaws came against three teams: the Thunder, the Celtics, and the Cavaliers. That's really it. Like, the Pistons gave them a run for their money. They lost the regular season as well, so we can't, you know, just push that aside as well. But for the most part, the Knicks dominated all season long except for, like, three or four teams. This is now playoff. It's crunch time, and they're putting up a better fight. And every time the fans bark and say, I need to see something, you got to go out and do it, they respond. They legitimately respond.
Let me throw something at you. Fair enough. So Now, you use, I'm writing this down. You used the word dominate. I don't think the Knicks dominated, but I'm going to get back to that. Who, take the Mets aside. Who are the three best teams in the NL? Dodgers, Padres, and?
Giants.
You want to maybe give it to one of the teams? You want to give it to the Braves, maybe coming back a little bit, like when it's all said and done?
Okay.
Okay. Dodgers, Padres, Braves. Let's say the Mets win 91 games, 92, maybe even 93, whatever. But I don't know exactly how many times they played those other teams. But let's say they have a winning percentage of 17%. Not quite zero, like the Knicks, against the good teams. But against the Dodgers, Padres, and the Braves, the Mets, I'm just throwing this out for effect, 4-20. Are you going to really feel like they dominated? The answer is obviously no. The Knicks did not dominate.
You know what? But they did. They dominated. Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, the rest of the league. They're one of the best teams in the league. No, I know, but there's, again, that's that nuance that it's
but
layered.
But here's the other thing, too. Like, let's break this down real quick. The Celtics and the Cavaliers, how many games did Mitchell Robinson play against those two teams?
I think maybe just the last one against the Celtics.
He played two games.
That was two, okay.
So, and there was a plus-minus against the Celtics of, I think, 65. I think the Celtics had a plus-65 against the Knicks. So they beat the crap out of him three games, and the one game that he played, they lose by two. And I understand that there was a lot of stars missing and whatnot.
The point is, Jalen Brown didn't play the second half, right. Blah, blah, blah.
But, so you really can't, no offense, I'm looking at those three games. Yeah, it was terrible, but we didn't have the deep bench. We didn't have Mitchell Robinson. There were certain elements that we didn't have. So I'm almost like, I'm going to give that a pass. Let's see what happens in the playoffs. It's a different game. Any playoff is different. So that's why I look at this as more of a telltale sign of who they are.
I'm kind of with you, but not fully. Because, yes, the playoffs are different. But the personality for the team generally doesn't change. Like, you are who you are. Now, maybe the Knicks are going to defy that statement. And they're evolving, maybe. But, you know, think about Riley's Knicks. They were that way I know it's a million years ago, I get it. But same with Van Gundy. They were that way from opening night until the final buzzer of whatever game they lost to end their season. We knew their identity. Now, they also had more consistency. They played with each other longer. And maybe I've lacked patience to watch that develop. But I don't know. I think if they played like the Magic in round one, I don't know that they're ready to go last night. The Pistons really did them a massive favor.
Well, it was definitely a fight. But here's the other thing, too. Like, you look at, like, during the regular season, Mikal Bridges is somebody that we were like, oh, this just wasn't worth the trade, wasn't worth the draft picks, all this other stuff. But reality is, Jalen Brunson, it's his team. He controls the ball. When he wasn't there, when he was hurt, all of a sudden Mikal Bridges starts to show up. He showed up in the playoffs so far in the biggest spots. He's made some big tip-ins. He's had some big plays. So reality is he's actually been playing great. He's just doing his role. He's a role player on this team, whereas Jalen Brunson is a star.
In a lot of in a lot of ways, he is the exact opposite of what you would think is possible in New York. He's a guy, you know, who you gave up a ton to get, who came here, who's not the star, who was thought by some to be maybe a little, not soft, but whatever, and took some hits in the court of public opinion, but is showing up at the most crucial moments of games. Usually those guys disappear. They get swallowed up by the New York market. He has emerged stronger. He is battle-tested, and that obviously should portend good things moving forward.
He's Giancarlo Stanton in the playoffs.
Let's not go nuts, dude. It was good. We can take a step too far. Giancarlo Stanton. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show on the Fan coming back. Get back to these Nick calls. Obviously, the Devin Williams situation. You got a little something on the Mets as well. Ballface Live, Ballface Truths coming up in 20 minutes. Busy show. Then it's Evan and Tiki up next at 2 on the Fan. We've got Ballface Live, Ballface Truth coming up next here. And the Knicks are the story today, no doubt. Let me get Zeke in Flatbush. Zeke, what's cooking?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey.
I have to tell you, yesterday might be known OG's best game as a Knick. Last night was the Mikal Bridges night. It was the night Mikal Bridges arrived. And what I said to you last week after game 5 about this team not having heart, I take it back. Last night was all heart. And it was all Bridges. And the fact that what he did in the overtime, that last play of the game was the single best defensive play to end a game I have ever seen in any sport in my life. It was a Mikal Bridges.
I mean, that's a little strong, but I don't want to take away from the moment.
Tell me a game-ending defensive play that was better.
I mean, it's something in the NFL to win us. I don't know. How about when Russell Wilson threw a pick in the Super Bowl?
Right, I'll give you that's on the same level.
Either way, I got it. It was a hell of a play. I'm not trying to take away from it, but I got you. Yeah.
Right. You know what? I concede. You're right. That was a better play. That was a Super Bowl.
Zeke, I know what wasn't one of those great defensive plays. Aaron Judge with the pop-up in the World Series. That's the exact opposite.
You're killing me, man.
Zeke.
What was that for?
I don't know. I don't know why I said that. It's true. Hey, by the way, thanks for the call, man. The fact that Mikal Bridges shot 3-for-13. Like, think about this. Imagine right before I signed off yesterday at 1:57 or so before Evan and Tiki, right? And I'm like, hey, by the way, guys, I'm going to come in tomorrow. And when I start the show, I'll be looking at the stat sheet. Bridges will be 3-for-13. Well, actually, listen to this as I craft this even more than I thought. Bridges 3-for-13. The Knicks will be out rebounded by 10. They will shoot an absolutely grotesque 54.5% from the free throw line, 17-for-31. All right. And Karl Anthony Towns will only score 14 points and only play, 30 minutes, whatever it was. You know? And Brunson would shoot 9-for-23. Think about this. And outside of Miles McBride, nobody on the bench would score a basket, which is what happened. Precious Achiuwa was 0-for-1. Mitch, nothing with that. A couple of free throws. And Campaign, nothing. Zero. So you would have thought the Knicks got waxed by 15. That's why when I tell you that, they really didn't play a great game. They played with integrity. They were clutch. They played with poise, but they didn't play great. That's a good thing. That's not a diss. That's like, all right, here we go. They could get better. Mike is in Wayne, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, BT. It's good talking to you.
Thanks, man.
I heard you talking about Karl Anthony Towns, and I have like 3 observations / theories on what's going on with him. Mm-hmm. I think he's got some weakness in his knee that he's dealing with, because if you watched how many times he went in for a layup and he got blocked.
Yeah.
He's 7 feet tall. I mean, the same thing happened in Detroit. So I think there's something going on there.
Well, now hold on a second, Mike. Now, he had that during the year. But, he also was never really, he was never an uber athletic big when he came in out of Kentucky. And, he's getting a little bit older. He's getting a little bit thicker. So is that the knee, or is that just never really been a part of his game? He's always been, I don't want to say below the rim because he's 7'1", but. Yeah, a lot of layups, a lot of guys his size, they'll dunk it. Sometimes he just lays it in, so I don't know.
Well, I've seen him throughout the year just like from the top of the key, take 2 giant steps and he's like in there. So
yeah, that's true. That's true. I've seen a lot of those plays. That's fair.
So fair. Going on to that, so I think either because of that or maybe it's just Tom Thibodeau's different strategy, he's having Karl Anthony Towns stand on the edge of the three so he could let Brunson, OG, and Bridges operate, and it's kind of a different thing he's doing in playoffs. And I don't know if it's because of Karl Anthony's weakness, or maybe that's just Tibbs just trying to play something a little different here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I was going to say Tibbs doesn't have the excuse of of learning what Carl Anthony Towns is about because he previously coached him. You know, I could see if it was somebody else and you make a trade, what, 2-3 days before training camp. Yeah, and it takes a while to utilize him properly. But then again, Carl Anthony Towns had a really good regular season. He's the starting center in the All-Star game. And he's going to be third team. I mean, some people think second. I think third. All-NBA. But it doesn't mean that it's been seamless. But it also doesn't mean that it can't get better. And it's my hope that it will. It's my hope that it becomes more consistent. Huh? Let me get... How about John in Monroe? John.
Hey, Brandon. What's going on, buddy?
Hey.
Yeah, I hate to rain on the Bridges parade. I don't think he'd be getting all these accolades if he didn't go into overtime. But, I mean, he was playing god-awful up until then.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I'm killing the every shot, coming up short, driving to the basket. He's got no off-the-dribble move. And it, defensively, I mean, I really think they helped him out shooting all the threes because, you know, if you go at him, I mean, the Celtics are going to have a new directive in the next game, and they're not going to be shooting up all those threes.
Well, but by the way, no, John, good. I hope so. That if that's the case, advantage Knicks because that's their identity.
Yeah, they are, we'll see.
Well, John, but think of it. Yeah. John, let me just tell you why. Now, it doesn't mean that the Celtics can't win that. Like, but their identity is just taking and making a ton of threes. So if you get them away from what they do best, I'm saying advantage Knicks.
No, I got you. But you know what? If they take more shots, you know, from 12, 15 feet, you know, they were having a lot of success. So you're right. I mean, if we can keep them at the three line, that's fine. But if they go to the hoop, I don't know. I didn't see many Bridges stops until the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's very just a weird game in so many ways. I mean, Mitchell Robinson, I know he did good things for sure, but I mean, I was much more frustrated with him last night than I was, you know, enthralled with his play. I mean, but he was at the highest plus minus on the team, and he can't hit a free throw. You know, and there's just like this stagnation that happens, and I get it. It's boring basketball, you know, until they change the rules, I mean, you may as well try to exploit it. There's not many people that are that hard at one aspect of basketball like he is at shooting free throws. So if he's on the court, I'd be doing the same thing, you know? And when they replayed that one where we thought it was Brunson and one, and then right before it, they were trying to foul Mitchell Robinson. They reviewed it. They eventually got it right. Like, that just takes away from the flow of the offense. Like, think about how disruptive that's got to be for somebody like Jalen Brunson. But what's the other option? There is none. When Carl Anthony Towns has those fouls, you got to go with him. Bruce and Howell. Bruce.
Yeah, hey, what's up, Brandon?
Hey, Bruce.
Yeah, I got three quick points. First of all the talk going into the series with the coaching. I mean, Joe Mazzulla, terrible coaching. You're up by 20. You got Cat, you got Harden foul trouble, and they're just bricking up threes. You got to take the ball to the hole. Worst comes to worst, at least just get them. They're going to have some fouls. There's always just chucking up threes. I mean, come on.
That is, to me, that's criminal. That is just such a basic reaction to what's in front of you. Like, I get it. Yeah, we're going to hoist our threes. That's kind of how we got here. But you got to react to, you know, a change. And, yeah, I don't disagree. They bailed the Knicks out. I mean, the Knicks are probably sitting there saying, thank God, keep shooting threes. You're helping us out.
Yeah, yeah. Also, BZ, if I tell you before the series that Brunson's going to have no points in overtime and the Knicks' big run down the stretch came without him scoring. I mean, you would tell me, I mean, what is that?
I would tell you that Knicks are down 0-1 and they flushed out a great opportunity to jump out and steal the first game on the road is what I would tell you. Yep, that's what I would tell you. Let me get Paul in Westbrook, Connecticut. Paul.
Yeah, BC, nice talking to you.
All right.
Some of the, you know, qualities you just had kind of answered a few of my questions. Like, I was just saying, you know, even looking at Cat last night, going to the hoop and he's falling down and he's, you know, a couple of times I did think he got fouled on there and we didn't get that call. But I really think that if we go out there, we didn't really defend the three good. We gave open shots and they missed and we don't want that happening in the next game.
Mm-hmm.
I think you really have to get on him, get in front of him because when you look at that once the last couple of minutes last night, I mean, they had, I think, 4 or 5 rebounds in a row. We got to get those rebounds and we had the size on them. I just think, you know, we are lucky to get out of there with what we got, and we got to go back now, and I think play a little bit better defense on the three because I don't think The Suns are going to miss all those shots if you give them the opportunity again.
Paul, I agree with you on that, man. I think that that's absolutely true. And, you know, listen, something else that absolutely has to change. And if it does, it's going to be amazing. And if it does, then the Knicks will be playing in the next round. They got to get back their Garden dominance. They have to. Got to. This didn't play well this year. I don't even want to say it didn't feel the same. Like, not your fault. It's their fault. You guys did your, I know those tickets are expensive. And, you know, each year more and more, you know, celebrities go and people with a lot of money go who don't really care about the Knicks, who aren't emotionally invested. I know. Been like this with everything for a long time. But, I mean, the energy of the Knicks is always palpable. Again, you guys did your job. It's the players who just didn't respond, 24-17 at home in the regular season. If they start playing like the old days at the Garden, they're going to the Eastern Conference Finals. So, still a lot of ifs and still a lot of variables. But there's no doubt more belief for me than I've had probably, no, not probably, at any point this season before the season started. Like, right when they got Cat before camp, but when they traded for Bridges before that, I'm like, all right, this team, and I knew the Cavaliers would be better, but I kind of pushed them aside just a little. I'm like, all right, Knicks-Celtics conference finals. And I was thinking Knicks-Cavs maybe in round two, whatever. But once the season started, immediately, that confidence really began to erode a little bit. And it really never came back for all the reasons that I've said over and over on the station, you know, and on social media. I am as hopeful, I'm not going to use the word confident, I am as hopeful and optimistic about the Knicks now than I have been all season since the ball first went up in the air opening night.
Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Wait for it.
Oh, yeah.
Hoffy, who has been off seemingly for the last 2 months, he has told us he's going to mail this in. I don't expect a whole lot, but maybe he'll surprise us.
I appreciate you. I appreciate the, you know, the
confidence,
expectations that I give on a normal basis. All right, listen, you were talking about Devin Williams earlier, so I have a bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. Devin Williams will get his closer job back before the end of the season.
I would have said it's a bald-faced lie. I don't see it. I think the wheels are off. I think it's getting worse. I think it's picking up velocity. He's already crashed a few times. This thing is starting to feel like it's going to be a wreck that is maybe not salvageable. So I'm going to say bald-faced lie. I just don't feel it. I certainly haven't seen it. You know, I mean, the way his season ended last year, the way it started this year, the microscope that is now intensifying, the fact that they have somebody else in Luke Weaver, last night aside, who has certainly some internal confidence within the organization. I think bald-faced lie. What do you think? You think he gets it back?
I do. I think he's the best relief pitcher in New York.
Well, what the hell's going on? What's he waiting for?
Listen, I'm not saying that he's right at the moment. He's clearly off. But I think that once he gets his stuff right, once he gets his splitter, his screwball, whatever it is that he throws, his off-speed pitch, his bender, airbender pitch, once he gets that down and he can figure that out, I think that he will become the most, you know, significant relief pitcher in New York over Diaz, over Weaver, over everybody. But again, he's just not there at the moment. And yesterday, I know that you can't make it about the rain because Carlos Rodon pitched in the rain.
Pitched great again, Rodon.
Which, by the way, maybe that's it. Maybe you just dump buckets of water while Rodon is pitching and he'll figure it out. He usually sweats a lot anyway, so the dampness doesn't really, you know, bother him at all.
He's used to being sloppy and wet. Although, yes. Before last night, he was dry and he's been pretty good. He's been on a heater, man. He's been really good for a while.
He's been very good.
Since I buried him, remember that? I crushed him like a month ago, said I don't trust him. Honestly, I don't think he's lost since.
No, well, he must have listened to you.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this may be a two-parter depending on how you answer the question.
By the way, what they tell you not to do in journalism school. You know that, right?
No. I never went to journalism school.
Well, for those young and stunning. Those young and aspiring journalism students here, they always tell you, like, you'll hear this. I'll get to the question in a sec. Like, you'll hear at a press conference, Carlos and Mendy, and you ask one question, and then you ask two questions. So it's basically a double-barrel question, they call it. But if you're the subject who's receiving the questions, you have it out. You take the easier of the two, and you basically gloss over the tough one. Like, hey, you know, let's say Soto was hitting 190. You know, hey, hey, Mendy, are you worried about Juan Soto, and how surprised are you that Pete Alonso's off to this amazing start?
Well, which one do you think I'm going to go to? I'm going to go and I'm going to just pop up Pete, and I'm going to ignore the Soto
stuff. Again, I'm saving the second part to after you answer the first part.
I'm just saying, I'm just giving you a little, you know, journalism.
Listen to this. I didn't go to journalism school, and I still know not to ask you both questions. So let's go.
There you go.
All right, here we go.
Yes.
Knicks-Celtics will be playing Game 6 up against Juan Soto's return to Yankee Stadium. Ball-face live, ball-face truth.
That's ball-face truth. Knicks, absolutely. There's no question they're getting at least one more. They might get three more. Yeah, that's the Friday night.
That's Friday the 16th.
The 16th. That will be a massive decision on, certainly on my part. I mean, I don't know how you would probably, we're all supposed to be going. Knicks are playing the Celtics game 6. See you, baseball. I mean, it's a Knick night. I'm sorry. But yes, I do think the Knicks are going to.
And you just ruined my next question.
Already,
you ruined it.
Well, I'm sorry. Okay,
ball face live, ball face truth.
Strike that from the record. Yep.
Will BT be attending the Mets Yankees game on May 16th?
Once they win that second? No. No, come on. What are you
going to
do?
I'm going. I'm going to the Mets Yankee game. There's no doubt about it.
How do you. It's funny. They were doing this. They were trying to get a loogie last week. I think I heard this. There is no way, like for me, that I could, even though the energy with Soto and it's going to be insane, that place is going to be bonkers, but the urgency for the, like, I wouldn't be able to enjoy the Yankee-Met game. And I did that once. I did this once, and I vowed I'll never do this again. I don't know what year. I guess it was 99. I was working in Pennsylvania, my first radio job, a million years ago. I go to the Yankees-Phillies game, drive in from my old radio partner from Allentown, go to Philadelphia, the old veteran stadium turf, right? That's when I broke my hand when I tried to catch a Tino home run in BP. I think I mentioned, break my finger, whatever. And the Knicks are playing the Pacers that night in the playoffs. And that's one of the games Larry Johnson drilled like three or four threes from the corner. And I'm watching the game, like in between getting beers and going to get food and watching the Yankees. I never again. Knicks playoff game, priority number one. I don't care what's happening with the Yankees.
This is where multitasking comes in. Nope. And I know you can kill me and crush me on it. Listen, we're going to be on our phones most of the time anyway. We're going to be in front of people. People are probably going to come up to you and be talking to you and stuff like that at the game anyway.
Yeah. So even more reason not to go. I'm more distracted.
Well,
is that a sell job or is that a like reason not to go?
Well, no, listen, for me, it's a reason to go because you guys get distracted. I'll do something else. I'll run away. No, but here's the thing is, like, the reality is I can multitask, and I've done this before. Like, yesterday, I had Knicks, Celtics. I had Yankees, Padres going on. While it was pouring out, I'm watching both things. You could do more than one thing at a time, and I'll just have my phone, and I'll have the Knicks, Celtics on. It's no big deal.
Do we have a time? I know this Saturday is 3:30. Do we have a time?
8 o'clock.
What time?
8 o'clock.
Oh, that's a fire pit night. There's no chance you see me. That is fire pit night with family, and that is...
So game 6,
Friday
BT
night
will not be at Yankee Stadium.
Not if the Yanks, not if the Knicks are playing, no.
Okay.
There's no way. There's no chance, dude.
All right.
I mean, I don't know how Sal's going to want to do that either.
I you know what? I got to be honest with you. More tickets for me. I'll bring my kids.
I know how your mind is thinking. I'm
not surprised. I've got my, hey, kids, you want to go to a game?
Yeah.
Well, Mitch is always asking for the kids to come, so now I'll bring the kids.
You are a good, not a mooch, but you are opportunistic.
It's not a mooch.
No, you're opportunistic.
That's exactly.
Well, that's why I said not a mooch.
Thank you.
Don't bite my head off. Let me finish. Go ahead.
No, that's it. Well, that's it. You jumped on my questions. Fine. Here, I'll give a last one. Pete Alonso. Okay?
Oh, so those were like, okay. So
depending on how you answered the first question, I was going to like.
That was the third one.
Yes.
It wasn't the second part of number two. It was number three.
No, it was going to be number three.
My bad.
It's okay. You jumped on it, but I'll give you a third one anyway.
Appreciate it. Make it easy. Make it fun.
Make it easy.
All right.
Pete Alonso is 18 home runs away from breaking Darryl Strawberry's record. Pete Alonso will do that before David Wright's numbers retire.
What was the date on David Wright again?
July, I want to say 17th?
July. Is it really middle of July? All right, so you're talking about two full months of base. He's how many away? 16? That's about eight a month or so.
18.
He's got 10 now? Is that what he's at 10 or 11?
He's at 9.
He's at 9. All right, 18, 27, 36,
July 19th. 45. So he's got two more days now added to it.
I'm going to say it's a bald-faced truth. I've been all in on Pete. Nobody has supported Pete more than me over the years. I'm a president of the Polar Bear Express. Now, listen, I really did think he was going to have a really good year, so I'm not surprised by this. Even a little bit more than I thought. I didn't think we'd quite see this early. Like, I didn't think he'd be hitting 340. He's really changed his approach, which is awesome. I think he does it most of the season. Probably winds up hitting 285 or so. He's not going to hit 320. He's not that kind of hitter. But he's going to get a lot of MVP votes, and I do think he's going to break Stroh's mark by the David Wright retirement ceremony. You going to go to that? You going to try to?
Yeah, I'm going to try to get to everything.
I didn't think you liked David Wright. You always dissed David Wright.
No, I love David Wright.
Everybody
the captain. No, I was.
Like, you love him or you like him?
No, love
okay,
him.
I hope
love
so.
Him.
Then mischaracterization, my bad.
Yeah. No, I don't like Nimmo. I think everyone knows that.
I know you don't like Nimmo.
And it's not that I don't like Nimmo. It's more of, I think people overrate him. I think that's what it is. I actually like his characteristics.
How could you not? He's a hustler. He's a team
guy. He reminds me.
He's just not that good of a baseball player anymore.
That's the problem. And he's hurt. He reminds me of a left-handed Hunter Pence. I always say that. I love Hunter Pence.
I say it a little like mechanical, a little
awkward.
Weird.
A
little
unconventional.
Bit. Unconventional. Oh, man. All right. Good stuff there. Bullface Live, Bullface Truth. Good job on that, Hoff. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal is our number. We'll come back. We've got an hour to go. Rev up the Nick energy. A little Yanks, a little Mets, a little something on. I did some of the Devin Williams stuff, but something from the Met game last night that I definitely want to get to as well. I got you till 2. Then it is Evan and Tiki next on The Fan.